Let the church say amen. 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 There are some things I may not know. I may not know. There are some places I may not go. That I may not go. But I am sure of this one thing, of this one thing, that my God is real. For I can feel him in my soul, him in my soul. Don't you know God is real? He's so real in my soul. He's real in my soul. My God is real. For he has washed and made me whole. And made me whole. His love for me. His love for just like pure gold. Just like pure gold, my God is real. For I can feel him in my soul. Don't you know God is real? God is real. He's real in my soul. He's real in my God is real. He has a wife and he made me whole. His love for me, his love for me, just like your gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Hear me in my soul. Amen, amen. We certainly thank God for all of the rich blessings that he has given us, the way that he takes care of us. God is good to us. We don't even have to check and do a survey to know that God has been good to every last one of us. In obvious ways, and in secret ways, in ways that we cannot even articulate, which is why we worship, which is why we thank him every chance we can for how good he is to us. I'm thankful to be here with you tonight. I've had a great day running after a little white ball on a green field. Had a great time playing golf with Brother Prem and some of the brothers from Jackson Street. They didn't treat me all that kind, but that's the nature of the beast, I guess. I didn't help with my Yankee hat, so everybody kept looking at me funny, and I kept looking at them funny, too. But we're glad to have had a great time today, and now to end the Lord's Day in studying the Word together is just an awesome, awesome time, and we thank God again for the decision to bring me here. Thank God for Brother Jones and thank God for Brother Mason and their hospitality, and all of you are being very kind, and we're thankful. I love preaching, period. All right, so I got some interesting qualities. I'll preach, period. But there's something that happens when I preach to folk who want to hear the word. Then we're in a whole different ball game. So I thank God for you. I want to invite you to the book of John. We've been looking at Calvary through different perspectives, different messages. I shared with you Sunday morning about the four thieves or the four criminals of Calvary. The preacher, from Jackson Street. Oh, it is. Oh, no, man, that's messed up. I've been afraid of calling his name all day. But Brother Jackson tried to figure out what was the fourth criminal. I said, get the CD. then Sunday night, we looked at how Paul said, all I want to do is preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I believe that's significant. That means that Calvary is enough. That's what people need to hear. That's what we ought to be talking about. And then last night, we looked at the Gospel of Matthew, and we talked about the victory of Calvary. And now, tonight, I want to take you to John, and I'm going to talk about Calvary. But in order to understand Calvary, you have to kind of understand the background pictures. For instance, if I was to show you a picture of a bridge, it would never just be a bridge. It would have to be a bridge to other places. So you'd have to have a picture of what the bridge is doing. You'd have to have some water. You'd have to have people on it or something like that. But, you know, the best picture of a bridge includes the things that show the bridge in function. So tonight I'm going to talk about Calvary by talking about some of the background or aligning stories that help you to appreciate what happened on Calvary. And we're going to look at one of our favorite heroes in Scripture by the name of Peter. Amen? So I want to take you to John chapter 18 and verse 15. Amen? Amen. And it's going to be some reading tonight, but it's all right because we love the word. Amen? We love the word. Amen? We love the word. Amen. Man, y'all don't take hints too easy. John chapter 18, verse 15. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Y'all there with me? Yeah. So we're jumping right into the story, but I'm going to show you the context in just a minute. So Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus, since that disciple was known to the high priest. He went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, I think that's John, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, watch it now. The woman said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Y'all hear with me? Skip down to verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, did I not see you in the garden with him? Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, the cock crowed. Tonight, I want to call this lesson St. Peter's Fire. St. Amen. Can't say amen. Nod your head. St. Peter's. Are y'all offended by the term saint? See, he is a saint. Matter of fact, he's a super saint. All right, we might as well start fighting early. Amen. St. Peter's Fire. We're talking about the worst moment in Peter's recorded history. This is when he denied his Lord. Amen? And he denied his Lord at the fire.
Did y'all see that? That when he comes into the high priest's house, the girl asks him, "Are you one of his?" He denies it. Then he goes and stands near the fire, and they ask him two more times, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And it's at the fire that Peter denies his Lord. And immediately I invite you into the text, because we all got our fireplaces. We all got those places. Come on now. We all got those places, whether it be at a bar, whether it be at the house, whether it be with our friends, maybe at a clinic somewhere. We all got our places where we said, "I don't know him." And I might make it, this might make you anxious for a moment, but trust me, as we talk about Calvary, this is a message of hope. This is a message of victory. And that victory, that hope, is all tied up not in our places where we denied him, but in the place where he accepted the will of God and died for our sins. And so I want you to consider Peter's denial. And my first point again is that Peter is a super saint. He's not, and every time I preach this, everybody draws up on this because it sounds too Catholic. I'm not talking Catholic, I'm talking scripture. He's a saint. Can we agree? He's a saint. He's sanctified. So somebody said, "Well, how is he a super saint?" He's not super sanctified, but he's a saint who functions on a higher level. You can give that to me now. Peter, ain't nobody like Peter. I know everybody is somebody in the eyes of God, but Peter was something else. Now come on, and the Bible wants you to know. As a matter of fact, John, the only one who records this breakdown like this, is also the only one that lifts Peter up into excellent heights. He shows that Peter is the only disciple. Y'all follow him. Y'all here with me. When the Lord walked on water. I'm not gonna take too much time, but remember all of the disciples were scared. All of them saw him, but only one disciple asked the Lord if he could come out there with them. It wasn't James. I'm not disrespecting James and John. I'm pointing to the fact that Peter was the only one out of all of them that said, "I want to come out there with you." You remember Jesus in John 6 said the thousands, I think it was close to 20,000. The Bible says 5,000, but that's not counting women and children, with just two fish and five loaves. Y'all remember the story? And the next day, the people come back and they want more food. And Jesus ain't like that. I'm not gonna buy you following me. You're not gonna follow me just so I can feed you. You ought to be following me for the word I teach you, all right? And so he got into a fight with the crowd and it got hot. They even said, "Give us this, our fathers ate manna from heaven. Our fathers ate bread from heaven." Jesus said, "That wasn't no bread from heaven. Matter of fact, I am the bread of heaven. Your fathers ate that bread, they died. You eat of my flesh, you will live forevermore." And it gets worse. He said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life." And when the people heard that, they said, "All right, we out of here. I'm giving y'all a ghetto version. We out. Talking about eating your flesh, we out. We're done with this." And that day, the same thousands who he fed one moment walked away. Jesus is the only preacher that lost thousands in one day. No, he's not. But y'all get the point. And he turns to the 12 and says, "Will you also go?" Y'all don't know the story? One of them answered. Matter of fact, one of the greatest answers in scripture. One of them answered and said, "Lord, to whom to whom shall we go? For thou hast," as King James, "for thou hast the words of like, guess who that one was? It wasn't Thomas. It wasn't Thaddeus. It was Peter. And so Peter is a saint, but he is a high function. And I believe that John wants you to see the greatness of Peter so you can appreciate what happened when Peter says, I'm not one of his. Y'all remember? They were at the dinner, as a matter of fact, in John 3:13, and Jesus tells them that I'm going to go away, and Peter even says, Lord, I want to go with you. He says, all of you are going to be ashamed, and all of you are going to be shocked, and all of you are going to leave. Peter says, I'll never leave you. And Jesus turns up and said, look, I know your heart is good, but before the cock crows, you're going to deny me one time, two times, and three times. And sure enough, when it came down to it, Peter denies the Lord. Can I help you understand? I'm not excusing what Peter did. He denied the Lord. But as a preacher, I want you to understand why he denied the Lord. You understand? I'm not somebody says, oh, because he was afraid. It might be a little bit deeper than that. Or because he was scared. He didn't lack courage. It might be a little bit more to it than that. And again, I'm not excusing it. But I think we need to understand how a thing happens so that we can prepare ourselves when we're in the same situation. So too many times we look at the event and focus at the event, and we don't see the background to the event. We don't see the things that led to the event. Many times we try to stop the event. You can't stop the event. What you need to stop are all the things that are leading to the event. So come with me. We're going to go back, and we're going to look at what happened. Y'all here with me? Go back to chapter 18. Some reading, but it's good. 18, verse 1. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out. This is when he ends the dinner. He went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police. Y'all all right with me reading the New Revised Standard? From the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Y'all not helping me here. They're coming to pick up Jesus, but they're coming equipped. They got stuff. You know why they got stuff? Because they know Jesus got them things. Y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all know what them things that are older folk, when young folks said them things, they're talking about some skills and some equipment. They knew Jesus can get through some stuff. They knew that the word about him was true, that he knew how to do some stuff. Now watch what happened. So they come with a detachment of soldiers, right, Judas? They come with lanterns and torches. They ready to get it on. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, who you looking for? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus replied, watch these things now. Jesus replied, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. Watch it. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they stepped back and fell to the ground. I don't know how you read that. But if soldiers come armed, ready to take Jesus into custody, you don't step back and fall to the ground. What happened is that Jesus put them things on them. You might have not ever read that like that before, but that's what happened. Why? Because Jesus wants to make a point. You don't come by force and take me. I'm giving myself to you. You came with lanterns and torches and soldiers and swords, and you got all your infantry together. You got all your stuff, but all I got to do is wave my hand at you, and you'll fall back and you'll fall down. You'll do it now and you'll do it then because I got them things. And if you want it to be about things, all right, maybe he didn't say all that, but he says again, he asked them, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, this is why Jesus did it. Let these men go. He did it because he doesn't want his disciples to get taken up with him. It's not necessary that the disciples suffer now. It's only necessary in the plan that Jesus suffered. So Jesus told them that it was going to happen. He told the disciples it was going to happen. He'd been telling them. Now that it is happening, he wants them to be protected. Are y'all getting the story? Because now you get to see something interesting, right? He says, I did not lose a single, verse 9. This was to fulfill the word which he has spoken. I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me. Watch it. So Jesus is working out a hostage trade. You take me and let them go. Y'all got it? While he's got it worked out, lo and behold, Peter jumps off. Did y'all see this? Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it. Yaha! See, when you read the Bible, you got to fill in all the sounds. You know, nobody can just draw a sword. You know, Peter was like, let's get it on! Galilee! The Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. John even wants you to know the slave's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into its sheath. And am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? Boom. I'm going to show you why Peter denied the Lord. Not to excuse him, but to understand him. Is that Peter was thinking this was supposed to go differently. Y'all not helping me here. Peter never ever thought that Jesus would just give himself up. That's why Peter said, though everybody else forsake you, I won't forsake you. He was for real about it. Y'all not helping me here. He was for real. How real was he? He was so real that he had a sword. He had a sword since dinner. Y'all not helping me. Under his cloak. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane with a sword under his cloak. And he was waiting to show, though everybody else forsake you, I'll never leave you. And when it happened, even when Jesus worked out a truce that I'll come with you, you just let these go, Peter was like, nah, aha! Galilee! And I'm going to watch this too. Because we all knew he cut off that man's ear. They didn't have those three musketeer swords, the rapiers, you know, the fancy swords, we go cut off a man's ear. They had these short, stubby swords that were just blunt instruments. I'm gonna tell you something, Peter wasn't trying to cut that man's ear off. You know what I'm saying? You don't just reach out, cut off a man. What Peter was doing, he was trying, he was, and when he went, that Malchus said, oh, snap. Y'all get it? That's the only way you're going to cut off a man's ear with them short swords. Peter wasn't trying to take off his ear. Peter was trying to take off that man's head. And I need you to understand that so that you can appreciate where Peter was in this whole thing. Peter was ready to get it going for his Lord. Peter was willing to die for his Lord. Peter was willing to kill for his Lord. Peter had the Lord's back 100%, and then the Lord turned it around on him and said, I'm going peacefully. That blew his mind. It's a psychological shock. And you don't have to be with Peter to understand that. You've been there before. You've been there before. When you thought somebody should do what they ought to do, and you backed them up, only to find out that they ain't nothing like what they said they were. That shocked you. Some of y'all were in treatment. Y'all here with me? Now imagine that Peter had seen what the Lord can do. He saw him feed the thousands with just a few items of food. He saw him walk on water. He saw him raise Lazarus from the grave. In Peter's mind, Jesus can do anything. The last thing Peter was expecting Jesus to do was to give over to these soldiers. And when he did, that's what the Bible's not going to give you. The Bible is not going to get into Peter's head and tell you what's going on as he follows the crowd to Anna's house. You following me? Verse 12. So the soldiers, their officers, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who advised the people or the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon and another disciple followed Jesus. I need you to get in there psychologically. I need you to get in the mind of a man who was so behind Jesus that he's willing to kill for him. And now he's watching his Lord. Y'all got it? He's watching the miracle worker. He is watching the one who fed the thousands, walked on water, raised the dead. He's watching the one who had all kinds of power. He's watching the one that he saw transfigured in the mount and glowed like white, like light. He's watching him being led away by soldiers. And he and John are following him. What do you think is going on in his mind? He's like, man, this ain't the way it's supposed to happen. Now watch what happens. Again, I'm not making excuses. I need you to get the picture. That now he comes to Anna's house. John, I believe that the other disciple is John. He knows the high priest. So he gets in and Peter is standing at the gate. Do you see the picture? Peter is standing at the gate. I know, and again, because the Bible doesn't say it, we tend to think he's sitting there with his mind blank. His mind ain't blank. It's racing. His heart is broken. He is confused. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's just standing at the gate. Can't look in, don't know what's going on. And then John comes out the gate and says, I'm going to bring you in. When he brings you, y'all know how it works. Yep. Because John is it. Forgive me. So John is in the club. And there's a long line. So John comes out and he gets Peter. And he pulls Peter along, comes to the girl that's giving the. Some of y'all are like, what is he talking about? Some of y'all are like, what? Yeah, so the girl that puts the, what is it called? He knows what I'm talking about for some reason. And the girl says, wait, aren't you one of his disciples? And so all we see is the event. What I want you to see is the connection with the events. That is not, it wasn't just the girl out the blue asking him, aren't you one of his disciples? This is Peter, who has just gone through a psychic shock that he was so with Jesus, he was ready to kill for him and die for him, and now he's watching his Lord, the miracle worker, go into trial. It blew his mind. And the girl asked him, aren't you one of his? Good question. What I kind of suggest he is going on in his mind. I'm one of his that was willing to die for him. That Jesus ain't no this Jesus. I don't have an idea who he is. I'm with the radical Jew who is ready to tear down the governments of the world. I'm with the radical Jew who resisted the Pharisee and scribe. I'm with the radical Jew who can walk on water and turn water to wine and raise the dead. This Jesus, I don't even recognize him. I'm not excusing what he said. But I need us to help understand. You know why? Because we're the same way. We are the same way. And I need to hurry. When God doesn't do what we think he ought to do, some of us start to question whether he really is. Amen. And that's a dangerous game when you define God based on your experiences. When you define who God is based on whether or not he gives you what you think you ought to have. God is God, whether he gives you what you want. God is God, whether he, amen, whether he heals you, whether he protects your children or not, whether he gives you this or gives you that, he is still, don't let your experiences with God determine who God is in your life. Because we go through psychic shock all the time because we are disappointed when God doesn't do what we think he ought to do. Y'all here with me?
Yes, sir.
And so there's Peter. The girl says, aren't you one of his? He says, no. And he goes and he stands by the fire. Y'all got that?
Yes,
that fire is important. So there's Peter by the fire. And I needed you to see this, that Peter is or was a super saint so that you can understand even super saints fail. John wants you to know, and the scripture wants you to know, that no matter how strong you think you are, haven't you heard the scripture say, he that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall? Because some of us tend to think that at a certain level, there's no way that we can fall. If Peter can fall, we all can fall. Amen. That ought to give us a sense of humility. That no matter who you think you are and what your experiences are with God, no matter what you know about the Lord, you can come to a place where you can deny him as well. And then the other thing that John is doing is he's showing you that Peter is a super saint and that even super saints can fail or fall. But then he wants you to see that really Jesus is the star of the show. So, because John does some great writing here. I used to think that these guys were just doing their best. It turns out that God chose some of the best thinkers to be the recorders of biblical history. Watch what John does. So Peter has his moment. Y'all there? Chapter 18, verse 18. Now the slaves and the police, watch it, had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. And they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus. Do y'all see what just happened there? John goes from Peter straight to Jesus. No interjection. No in the meanwhile. Did y'all read it?
Yes.
No, read it one more time. I don't trust you. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus. So there's no at the same time. There's no transition. John wants to take you from looking at Peter immediately. Cut into looking at Jesus. You understand? No fading, no pan of the camera. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. There's nothing. Just one screen shows Peter standing with the enemy, warming himself by the fire. He's comfortable with the enemy at the fire. Next scene, no cut, no nothing, no bridge. Next scene from Peter with the enemy is Jesus with the enemy. That while Peter is failing, Jesus is standing firm. That while Peter is denying his Lord, Jesus is staying true to his faith. Y'all see it? And that's what John is doing. John is using Peter, and he's using his popularity. He's using his talent and his skill to point not to Peter, but to point to how great Jesus is. And so while Peter is denying him, verse 19, then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Skip down to verse 24. Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter, again, it switches from Jesus being sent bound to Caiaphas. Now it switches right back to Peter. And what's Peter doing? He's still warming him. While Jesus is bound to Caiaphas, Peter is standing and warming himself. They asked him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. Here's what's crazy. Verse 26, one of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked him, didn't I see you in the garden with him? Y'all not helping me here. He says, weren't you? You know, I saw some dude jump up with a sword and say, aha, Galilee. Some of y'all getting offended. I'm just talking. I saw somebody jump up with a sword. Weren't you at the place? Because my cousin got his ear cut off. Or whoever it was. My relative got his ear cut off and Jesus put it back on. But I saw somebody looking like you at the place. Peter said, what me? Wasn't me. Again, he denied it. And the moment he denied it, the cock crowed. Just like his Lord said, that before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And where did it all happen? It happened in Anna's house. It happened on the way in. And then it happened at the fire, at the charcoal fire. Y'all here with me? Now, let me give you some hope, because some of y'all are looking guilty, looking sad. Let me give you some hope. There's a second fire. There's a second fire. There's a number two fire. Y'all not, the first fire is where he denied his Lord. But thank God, there's a second fire. So y'all not going to say amen until I show you the second fire. All right. Turn with me now. Same book, but turn to chapter 21. All right? Chapter 21. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. You know what we skip? Of course, Jesus goes from Caiaphas to Pilate, and Pilate turned him over to the soldiers. And, you know, the Barabbas thing happened, and Jesus is crucified, amen, and he's buried, and then he rises from the grave. All of this happens, and then in 21 is where there's going to be an altercation between him and the disciples. And so after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. Bum, 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 Y'all don't know how to put music and stuff in there. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, I think Jesus changed his voice, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some. Huh. That sounds familiar. See, when Peter was first called into the ministry, it was a similar situation. They had fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus says, go out deeper and cast out. And he said, no, at first, Lord, Master, we've done this all night. Nevertheless, at your will, we will cast down the net. And they caught a whole bunch of fish. That was at the calling of Peter's ministry. And now, after Peter denied Jesus, Jesus sends him right back to the same type of miracle. See, I'm telling you, there's some hope in here. That even though Peter denied the Lord did not deny Peter. Y'all, that's good news right there. That even though Peter turned Jesus down, Jesus is still holding Peter up. That's grace, that's mercy, that's hope for you and I. Y'all hear with me? So he said, cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find something. So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes because he was naked and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish. For they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. So when Peter realizes it's the Lord, he can't wait on the rest of this business. He jumps into the water to get to the shore so he could talk to the Lord. Watch this. When they had gone ashore, y'all hear? They saw a charcoal fire. Man, I really thought y'all were here with me. Because I told you, there's a second fire. Matter of fact, this term for charcoal fire, anthrakia, is only used 2 times in the Bible. Both times are by John. The first anthrakia was in chapter 18, or chapter 18, where he denied him. And the second use is in chapter 21, where the Lord is bringing him back home. So it ought to make you say, thank God for a second fire. Y'all not helping me here. Watch it. Verse 9, when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. John 6. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and there were so many that the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now skip down to verse 15, because this is the nitty-gritty of it. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I don't know how you interpret this, but I can't help but see Jesus asking him, do you love me, three times at the second fire undoes what Peter did three times at the first. Yeah. See, at the first fire, he denied him three times. At the second fire, y'all not helping me here. At the first fire where he was warming himself with the enemy, he denied Christ three times before the cock crowed. But now in the morning, after resurrection, now at not warming himself, now feeding himself with the fish and bread, just like he did in John 6 with the thousands. Now he asked Peter three times, do you love me? The three times was to match how he let him go three times. See, God is not interested in you remaining way back at that first fire. God is not interested in you being stuck when you gave it up. God is not interested in you having a psychological bondage issue over what you did at the first fire. God wants you at the second fire. And notice this, every time he says, do you love me? Peter says, yes, I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Tend my flock. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Take care of the flock. What is he saying? If you love me, get to work. Y'all not helping me here. Amen. I don't need you stuck in the past crying over what you did at the first fire. Here's the second fire. If you love me, let it go and get to work. If you love me, don't worry about what you gave up. Look what I'm giving to you. If you love me, get to work. And that's a good message for all of us, because we got our fireplaces in as well. We got those places where we regret all the things that we do or have done. God is not interested in us staying around that old fire. You want to know? See, here it is. The difference between the first fire and the second fire is Calvary. What's between fire number one, where Peter denied him, and fire number two, where Jesus brought him in, is that Jesus died on Calvary. And you know what it means? Jesus didn't just die for Pilate. He didn't just die for Caiaphas. He didn't just die for Annas. Y'all know where I'm going. Y'all can help amen me right to my seat. He didn't just die for the evil people. He didn't just die for the mid-level sinners. He died for super saints who failed to carry out. He died for people like Peter, who was on the high charts of Christianity, who lost it because he had a moment of doubt or because he was confused about life. Jesus didn't die only for the sinner or sinful sinners. He died even for super saints who got it wrong. And because he died, there's a second fire. Because he took the sins of the world, there's a fire for everyone. Y'all got it? We don't have to be stuck where we lost it. We could come to Christ where he has given us forgiveness and he has given us ministry. See, I told you at the beginning of this study, I told you when we first started on Sunday, that if there's anything that's going to get you moving, anything that's going to help you to stay faithful, anything that's going to burn in your heart and make you move for the Lord like you never have before, it's not going to be the people. It's not going to be stuff around you. It's not going to be the minister and ministry. What's going to get you moving is Calvary. For what Jesus did on Calvary ought to cause all of us to get to work. Amen. Amen. Even tonight, the Lord has a place for all of us. He didn't just die for the superstars of Scripture. He died for us. And because he died, we too can sit with him and sup with him and fellowship with him and be forgiven by him and work for him. Is there anybody here that's still stuck at their first fire? Is there anybody here that still gets entangled in the places where you denied him? I want you to know, because of Calvary, because of what happened on the cross, you don't have to be stuck there anymore. The Lord has another place, a place of fellowship, communion, called the church, called the body of Christ, a place of forgiveness, and a place of ministry. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you don't have to be guilty over what you've done. You don't have to be ashamed of how you fail. Because of Calvary, you can be forgiven. Now, the way to access that forgiveness is to be in Christ Jesus. If you're here, you're not a Christian, then you ought to come believing that Jesus is the Lord, because he lived a perfect life, died on Calvary, and he rose again with all power. Your belief that Jesus is the Lord ought to lead you to a life of repentance. You ought to follow him. You ought to become more like him. You ought to learn about him. That's what repentance is all about. And even tonight, you'll confess him to be the Son of God. Not only with your mouth, but with your heart. For the rest of your life, not just tonight, but you will show as well as say that Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of your life. And tonight, you'll be baptized. It's in the waters of baptism that your sins are washed away, that you are filled with the Holy Spirit of promise.